There's a scripture that says, whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake, he'll save it. And that's what Live Dead means. That these missionaries, as you can tell, go to places that are extremely volatile. But they consider their lives lost for the cause of Christ, that there may be a better life, not only for themselves, but for those that they reach. And how amazing that Jesus has been working for decades in people's lives to appear to them. And then missionaries come. And they meet the God of their dreams. Not the God of their religion, but the God of their dreams, the God that is true. Abundant Life people, this is what your missions dollars do. Alvin and Lacey don't go to these places. And maybe you or I were like, oh God, please don't send me there. How do you raise 5 children amidst gunfire? How does that even work? But God lays his hand on people and sends them, and they answer that call and they go. And they go because of your missions dollars. Next month, we will have our missions month. 4 Sundays in September set aside when we renew our pledges and we re-engage after a year of faithful giving to once again say, I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of reaching Lebanese or Costa Ricans or any of the other 81 supports around the world. I want to be a part of that. So Alvin and Lacey, on behalf of the Abundant Life people, I just want to say we are blessed to partner with you. We are grateful and we are thankful that you are our hands extended into a place that so desperately needs the Lord. And we pray God's protection on you, his covering. And I just want to, let me just do that right now. I don't want to say it. Let's do it. Let's ask God to cover this family, shall we? Lord Jesus, I'm moved by these pictures, not just the end pictures where it shows all the violence. That's nothing for you. You can just stop that with a wave of your hand. But I'm compelled by the young person who says, I know it might make me an outcast in my family, but I want to be baptized. I know it might mean being ostracized from the people I know, but I want to follow Jesus. God, cover Alvin and Lacey with your hand of protection. Cover their children with your hand of protection. Watch over them and keep them, both physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally. And God, give them greater and greater fruitfulness. Lord, let them walk in and about those streets. And as it was said about Samuel, the Old Testament, that people in those neighborhoods, in Hezbollah and wherever they find themselves, would say, I know a man and a woman in this city. They know which way to go. They know the way, the truth, and the life. There are those Christian missionaries. I'm going to go talk to them. God, anoint them and empower them, Lord, to do everything you've called them to do. And we give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 2 and pull out your notes. As you can tell by my voice, I'm still not quite 100%. I'm a little better than I was last week, but thank you for your prayers, and as you're turning in your Bible, I just want to say thank you so much for last Sunday, the joy of celebrating with you, the wonderful food, and I don't think we're ever going to cater a meal again. We're just going to bring our Abundant Life cooks in like last week. That was so good, and all those that provided decor, and especially your cards. The words are so dear to us, and I saved them. And I reread them, and they touch my heart. And your special personal gifts also touch us. So thank you so much for that. And thank you for your prayers. But so today, almost back, but not quite. And what I didn't preach last week, I want to preach today, and that is God is our healer. In our series, God is. If we're to go deeper, which we've defined as becoming whole, if we're to become whole, going deeper, we need to know who God is. Otherwise, why are we going deeper there? Why would we even want that? And we're learning the character of this God, the nature of this God, and the love of this God. And part of that nature and that character is that God is a healer. But there's a question. Whenever we teach on this subject, I know you think it. I know I think it. And that is, why doesn't God heal like he does in the Bible? How come there aren't these just miraculous workings of miracles in our world like we read in the Bible? Have you wondered that? Anybody besides me? A lot of us, right? We wonder, God, why do those we love suffer the way they do? The majority of miracles done in the New Testament were healing miracles. And they're remarkable to us. Blind eyes being opened and the lame walking and even the dead being raised out of graves. We look at each other and there's so many that need healing. So many in our church family that have suffered for decades with physical problems and struggles. The physical is important. It alters the way we think. I've struggled physically over the years. We all have to a degree. And I wouldn't say that I've struggled the way many of the folks even in this room have. But it can wear on you. Even, I've only been sick for 2 weeks and I'm already annoyed. I'm just irritated. Like, come on. How long is this going to last? And I know that those of you that have been fighting for decades, you're going, Pastor, give me a break. 2 weeks, come on. But you get it, right? When your body doesn't work right, it's annoying. And it can even be depressing. And it can even drive some people to think about taking their own life. It gets that serious. When it comes to supernatural healing, it's probably number one on our list when we have like circles of prayer. And we're going to, okay, it's prayer request time. Let's pray for each other. And I would guess that 60 or 70% of those prayer needs are somebody's sick and needs healing. Or somebody's got a disease or cancer or a surgery or something physical always pops up. God doesn't seem to have any rhyme or reason to his healing. I can't figure it out. I don't know why God heals some people and other people remain sick. I don't know why we pray for some and they recover and others and they die. I've done both. And I don't quite get it. When I look at the New Testament, Jesus doesn't even seem to have a rhyme or reason. For some people, he simply speaks and they're healed. For others, he touches them. In at least one case, a person touched him without him even being aware of it. And they were healed. One time he spits in a man's eye. Another time he puts his fingers in a man's ears. Another time he spits in the ground and makes clay. And he puts the clay in the person's eyes and then tells him to go and wash. On a couple of occasions, he wasn't even present. He just speaks the word and somebody a distance away gets healed. God never seems to have the same method for healing twice. And I think there's a reason for that. If there was a method, we would just dispose of Jesus and seek the method. And if you think that's not true, I've got some books in my hand in my library. This book is called How to Heal the Sick. And if you were to read this book, you'd wonder, well, why don't we all just do that? You just say the magic words, abracadabra in Jesus' name, and boom, the healing happens. There's a companion book to that one called Handbook for Healing. Let me read to you a little bit of that out of this book. This is from a chapter called The Neck Thing. That's the literal name of the chapter, followed up by the pelvic thing. I'm not going to read to you about the pelvic thing. I'll read to you about the neck thing. Here's what the author says about how to heal the sick if you've got a problem with your neck or with your spine. He says this, I put my two hands on his neck, placing my fingers on his upper spinal column. Mark chapter 16 says, those who believe shall lay hands on the sick. At the same time, I did not realize where the other parts of my hands actually were resting. Later, I discovered that the palms of my hands were on the carotid artery, which is the main artery on both sides of the neck, through which the blood is pumped into the brain. Therefore, this is also applying the power of God to any part of the brain that might need attention. The palms were also on the nerves, which go from the brain down the front of your body. This automatically makes your thumbs fall right on the temporomandibular joint, which is where we have problems with what is better known as TMJ. You are laying your thumbs on the strongest muscle of the body. Was it accidental that God made our hands so that when we place them in the right position, we would be laying on of hands on three vital parts of the body at one time? Or did he plan it so that when we started probing into how to heal the sick, the supernatural way, we would discover what we were doing all along, and so on and so on and so on. He describes how he would lay hands on. So really, all you got to do, this is for everybody now, this is easy. All you got to do is put your hands in the right place so your thumbs are on the jaw, your fingers are on the carotid artery, you say the magic words, bada bing, bada boom, healed the sick, we're all good. That's real teaching. I didn't mean that in a real... For those online that didn't hear, there were doubters in the room when I said that. Somebody is teaching that is real. There we go. That makes sense, right? That all you got to do is put your hands in the right place, say the magic words, and there you go. Have you ever tried that? I've tried that. Now, it wasn't the magic words, put your hands, but I've tried. And sometimes God heals and sometimes God doesn't. Healing isn't a magic equation. Jesus came healing people. But in Mark chapter 2, he does something really interesting. He talks about not only healing people in the body, but healing people in the spirit. In Mark chapter 1, Jesus had just healed a leprous man. And as he often does, Jesus told the leprous man, don't tell anybody. Just go show yourself to the priests, offer the sacrifice that Moses' law requires, and then leave it at that. And nobody ever does that. Nobody ever does. They always go tell. And the result is that people would just gather by droves to see Jesus, and it inhibited him from moving about freely, which is why he didn't want him to tell, that there was a time and a place for him to be revealed. And he wanted to move around healing people, but in ways that were much deeper. And so this man goes out and tells everybody, and they all clamor for him. So everywhere he goes, Jesus just gets swarmed. That's when we pick up the story in Mark chapter 2. And here's what it says. Excuse me, I'll read the first 12 verses. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door of the house. And he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus and above Jesus by digging through it, and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking about these things? Which is easier to say to this paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take up your mat and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the man, "I tell you, get up, take up your mat, and go home." And he got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." I want to focus on the verses. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Which is easier to say to the paralytic, "Your sins are forgiven," or to say, "Get up, take your mat, and go home"? Jesus is the healer. Jehovah Rophe means "I am the God who heals." Going deeper means going into healing. And I don't necessarily mean healing in the body. I mean healing to become whole, truly all that God would make us to be. Let's notice some things about this passage of verses. A man needed healing, and Jesus' friends were determined that Jesus had the answer. Or rather, the man's friends were determined Jesus had the answer. And I've been fascinated. Sometimes you read over passages and you miss words. I missed words. It says that the man's friends brought him, and four of them carried the man up to the roof and dug a hole in it and lowered him down. Apparently, there was a gang. There was a whole bunch of guys. And they were saying, we're going to get our friend to see Jesus. And four of them lowered him there. Isn't it great to have friends? Friends, if you have someone who's sick, never stop seeking Jesus for that friend. Never stop. This man didn't have the ability to get there, but his friends had the ability to take him there. Sometimes we need to have faith for our friends who are sick. It says the crowds kept them from getting to Jesus. You know what? This is kind of a tangent, but the crowd will always try to keep you from Jesus. The Muslim crowd in Lebanon are always going to try to keep those from coming to Jesus. No matter what, don't let the crowds deter you. Don't let the doubters deter you. Don't let the scoffers deter you. Don't let the it'll never happen deter you. Don't let the doctors deter you. Don't let anyone deter you. Praise God, pray hard, and ask Jesus for his healing touch. Jesus saw the determination of the men to get to him and called it faith. I don't think these men were thinking, we really got to have faith. We really need to muster it up. We really need to, let's try real hard to have faith. No, they were just going to stop at nothing to get to Jesus. And Jesus said, you don't realize it, but that's faith. That's what faith looks like right there. To say, I'm going to have Jesus. I'm going to lay hold of him. And I don't care what it takes. I don't care if I look like a fool. How many know when they were digging a hole in the roof, they're thinking, oh, this better work. This better work. Because if it doesn't, we are looking foolish. Jesus called those kind of behaviors faith. Jesus healed the man of his sin first. He healed the inner man first. I want to say this morning that that's a priority with Jesus. We're going to get to that in a bit. He said, son, I love when he calls him son. It touches my heart. He doesn't see him as, hey, guy, dude, your sins are forgiven. No, son, you're mine. You're mine. I want to heal you. I want to heal your inside. Son, this morning, daughter, this morning, wherever you are, whatever you've been through, whatever you're struggling with, whatever your addiction, whatever your fear, whatever your pain, whatever your shame, whatever your past, whatever your ailment, listen to God's voice. Say, son, daughter, he wants to heal you. When he said that, the religious leaders thought in their mind, how can he say this? How can he say this? That's blasphemy. He can't do that. And Jesus, being Jesus, knew what their thoughts were. Then the man came for healing of the body, but not for spiritual healing. The men weren't thinking at all that dug a hole in the roof. They weren't thinking, let's really get this guy before Jesus because he's a sinner and he needs his sins forgiven. Or he's a broken inside of his heart and he needs his heart healed. They weren't thinking that. They were thinking outward in. Jesus always thinks inward out. Jesus said it is easier to heal the body than to heal the heart. How many know that just in a moment Jesus can heal a disease, but it takes a long time to get inside of us and really bring a remedy for the ailment that's deep inside? Those memories, those hurts, that rejection, that shame. Jesus healed the body to give proof of his authority to heal the inside. That's what we need to learn today. Oh, Jesus can heal the body. And he can do that in any time. He has authority to do that. But many of us need the healing on the inside. Let's look at those two. Healing of the outside, healing of the inside. Number one, God is the healer of the body. Let's not mistake that. It might sound that as I'm preaching, I'm going to kind of bypass healing of the body and say, well, just deal with it. Let's just deal with the inside. When, no, he's the healer of the body. Here's what scripture says, Matthew 9. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. That's why the people were gathering anyway. It's kind of amazing. People didn't gather by the thousands because Jesus said, I forgive you of your sins. They gathered by the thousands because he healed their bodies. I believe God is a healer. God has healed in this church family. I recall last year, maybe a year and a few months ago, when we stood on this platform and we had our good friend Sim healed of colorblindness. Others' healings have occurred in this sanctuary. But sometimes people are not healed. You know, I've gotten to a place where I'm not offended at God by that. I have to admit, I used to be. I remember walking this room about 35 years ago, and I was discouraged because our senior pastor, Leonard Couchman, was going in for a heart surgery, and it was a serious one. And I was afraid for him. I didn't want him to die. And I said, God, I'm going to put in the work then. I'm going to stay up all night, and I'm going to pray. And I made it to like 3 a.m. I felt guilty about not making it all night. I was so tired, though. I said, God, that's got to be good enough. I've done enough, haven't I? And in the morning, he wasn't healed. I thought, oh, God, I knew it. I knew if I had just stayed up till sunup, you would have healed him. And we had a great miracle and we can celebrate. Now he went through the surgery and he came out of the surgery well. And he lived many, you know, years after that. But there was something inside of me that said, God, I did what I was supposed to do. You didn't do what you're supposed to do. And don't we hold God in that kind of leveraged vice? God, I did my part. You owe me. Anybody ever thought like that? I've fasted, you owe me. I've given, you owe me. I've served, you owe me. Church, God doesn't know. God doesn't know. The cross is a symbol of how much he's already given. There's really no much more he can give us. He doesn't know. But sometimes we feel that. I have a close friend, Deshaun, pastor in Sri Lanka. Many of you know him. God has used him in healing so frequently, too many to count. But yet he suffers with type 1 diabetes. Then what? Why don't you just pray for himself? Because it's not about him. It's not about any magic in the man. It's about God and what God intends to do. So I've grown over time to become very at home and compatible with just letting God be God. He will heal when God chooses to heal. He will heal when we seek him. He will heal when our seeking and his will come into alignment. But sometimes God does things differently. I don't find it necessary for God to heal and for me to believe, or rather for God, I don't find it necessary if God doesn't heal for me then to stop believing he's a healer. I simply believe in the sovereignty of God. I was really sick back in 2017 and I was struggling and was confronted with this might be my life. And over a period of weeks, finally got to the place of, am I going to be able to serve God and be content if this is my life from this day forward? And to be very honest with you, some of the people in this church encouraged me. Some folks here that have suffered much longer and praised Jesus with ailments that God has not chosen to heal. And I thought in my mind, if they can praise Jesus, I can praise Jesus. And I'm going to praise Jesus even if I have to stay with this ailment for the rest of my days. And it was settled. Now God brought me through a surgery and through some things, but he brought me through and I was okay. We need to become okay with that. There are three things to remember here, three things to stand firm on. Number one, God does heal the body. So don't stop praying. Pray with every way you know how to pray. Okay, do that. And God's healing is often accompanied by a greater revelation of who he is. God usually didn't heal willy-nilly. But he healed, like in this man's case, to show who he really was and to show a deeper understanding of who he was. The third bullet there, it says, at times, God chooses to allow an infirmity to encourage spiritual growth. Say, well, God, I'd rather have a little less spiritual growth and a little more healing. God, I don't think, is offended by that, because that's who we are. That's our nature. But at times, God says, I've got something better for you that can only occur if you stay where you are. Of course, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we have kind of the all-defining scripture about this. And that's when the Apostle Paul was describing exploits in the Spirit of how he saw a third heaven and all this crazy supernatural stuff. So much so that he doesn't even mention his own name, leading people to think that it wasn't him who he was talking about. But I think it helps us understand in verse 7 when he says, to keep me, so clearly he's referring to what he just said, to keep me from being conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. What God was saying to Paul was, I know you want this to be taken away, and I know it hurts you. I know it's hard, and it makes you suffer. But I want to tell you, there's two things that are going to happen as a result of you suffering. My grace is going to be sufficient, and my power will be revealed. I've had to settle in my mind that if God doesn't heal me, say, oh God, your grace is sufficient, and I love that, and your power is going to be revealed in a greater way than if I were healed. And I have to let God be God in that, rather than make him my vending machine and say, hey God, I put in my money, I pulled the button, you owe me. My grace is sufficient, my power is made perfect. There was a girl born in Maryland in 1949 to John and Linda Erickson. John was an Olympic wrestler. He wrestled in the 1932 Olympic Games. He was inducted into the Wrestling Hall of Fame. His daughter, they didn't have a son, and so they named her after her father, John. They called her Johnny. On July 30th, 1967, when she was 17 years old, she dived headfirst into Chesapeake Bay on a swimming excursion, but misjudging the shallowness of the water, she fractured her fourth and fifth cervical vertebrae and immediately became a quadriplegic. 17-year-old girl's dreams, done, gone. Through the years of recuperation and therapy, she was depressed, angry, suicidal. She doubted her faith, a faith that she'd grown up with. Yet, God's grace was sufficient. Today, Johnny Erickson Tata is 73 years old. As a teenager, she learned how to paint beautiful paintings by holding the brush in her teeth. She's the author of 48 books. The first books were typed with a pencil in her teeth that she would pluck away at a typewriter. Now with you can speak and people or machines will type for you or through a person. There's over 100 books written either by her or for or about her. She's made 15 recordings, 17 or 7 movies, had a radio program, has 8 honorary degrees, 6 of them doctorates, has been recognized by presidents and world leaders. Johnny and Friends Ministry has helped millions and millions of disabled children all over the globe. My power is made perfect in your weakness. Church, never stop praying for healing. Never stop. But trust God that between the time of your prayer and the time of your healing, that God's grace is sufficient and his power will be perfected. If God chooses not to heal, glorify him anyway, for his grace is sufficient and his power will be perfected. Let God be sovereign. If we reverse those and we want to be sovereign, let God serve us, you invert the gospel and you distort it. Healing of the body is temporary anyway. Our bodies will deteriorate. We'll get a new one in heaven. But the spirit God renews now will live on. Well, number two, God is the healer of the heart. Which is easier to say, Jesus said. To say your sins are forgiven or rise up, take up your mat, and walk. I've had experiences where people have had their bodies healed, but yet they reject Jesus. Like the 10 lepers, when only one returned to say thank you. Or some of the people that saw Jesus' great miraculous power were the same ones who cried out, crucify him. Same ones. I'll never forget, really my only, I think, miraculous healing or answer to prayer for healing in my life. I wish there were more. This is the only one I can really put my hand on. It was a little girl named Nicole, 6 years old. She had all kinds of physical problems. She wore a body brace, had a headgear thing on. Always struggled, but the cutest little thing with the most beautiful smile. She came with some family from our church. They bring her to church. And she was just a sweetie. I love Nicole. But she had a tumor right behind her ear. And it was such that they had to go through some of the brain tissue to get at the tumor. And they weren't sure Nicole was going to make it out of the surgery. At 6 a.m., I went to the hospital feeling the conviction to go and pray for Nicole. Her mommy and daddy weren't Christians. As I walked into that family waiting room before they admitted her, I saw Nicole and her dad sitting together, and he was bouncing her on his knee. She was giggling. She was having a ball, very unaware of what was happening and what was about to happen. As I walked in, though, I saw the pain in that daddy's eyes. He knew this could be very likely the last bounce he was ever going to get with his baby girl. I sat at a distance, not wanting to infringe on their moment. Every now and then he would glance over. The pain was deep as she giggled away. Well, it came time when it was appropriate, and I asked permission to come over and pray, and I prayed. It was a simple prayer, probably a 30-second prayer, and I walked out of the room, and I was angry. I wasn't angry at God. I was angry at the situation. I didn't have children yet, but I could see what was going on. I thought, oh, so mad. And God, why? Why does this father have to go through that? This is just a little innocent girl. What has she done? And I was driving in my vehicle to Richmond, about an hour drive, and all the way there I was so mad, just crying out to God in anger. How many know God can sense the heart even when you don't even know what's going on? And I went to the meeting that I was going to, and I'll never forget that afternoon. Sandra called. She said, you're never going to believe it. So they went in to do the surgery, and they did a scan just before to make sure they knew where they were going to have to go in. And so when they did the scan, the tumor was gone. It was gone. And we rejoiced, and it was so great, and it was wonderful, and the mother thanked the church for the prayers, and it wasn't a couple weeks later that we never saw them again. Now, in my mind, I'm thinking healing equals spiritual devotion for the rest of your life. That's what I was thinking. But that's just not the way it works. Sometimes we get healing, we go, oh, great, I feel better now. Isn't this awesome? Because the outside has been healed, but the inside hasn't been healed. And I don't know what happened. I don't think I've ever seen them again. I have no idea what's going on with that family today and what's happening. What I know is this. 1 Peter 2:24 says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. And he's talking about the internal healing. He died for our sins. By those wounds, we're internally healed. We're internally made whole. Now, we're externally made whole too. He's able to heal us. But But which is easier to say, heal the body or heal the spirit? And there's three areas of healing that are necessary. That spiritual healing, the forgiveness of sins, the emotional healing, the brokenness that's inside, that heartache, that rejection, that shame, that pain, and the mental healing, the memories and the fears and the stresses and all that goes on. We need all three, spiritual, emotional, mental healing. But how many know that's a lot harder sometimes? For Nicole and her family, the body was healed, but the spirit, the mind, the emotions, not necessarily so. I can only hope and pray that God has touched them between then and now. It's a harder one to get our hands upon and our minds upon. Healing of this kind is important because I can go through life praising God if I were blind. I can't go through life praising God if my heart is blinded by bitterness, shame, self-centeredness, remorse, guilt, fear. That blinds our spirit from God. Where if it's just my eyes, I can give God glory. This kind of healing is rarely instant. And that's what we probably struggle with the most, because we want God to do it now. This kind of internal healing, though, through justification, our sins are forgiven. But how many know we can say, I've been forgiven, but yet you don't feel forgiven. You still feel the shame and the remorse and the pain on the inside. It's the process of the healing that's needed on the inside. It's a process to forgive a wounded heart. It's a process to heal from a rejection or an addiction. We want the immediate. And God says, I want you to know me through the process. Some of us don't even realize we need an inner healing. We're completely oblivious of that. The Bible calls this having a good eye or a bad eye. That the good eye is aware and sees the things of the Spirit. The bad eye is oblivious to that. And so we don't see the world as it is. We see the world as we are. Let me say that again because you need to let that sink in. We don't see the world as it is. We see the world as we are. That's the glasses that we wear. If I'm critical, that's who I am. I can find criticism in anything. You can show me the most beautiful day with the most great circumstances, and if I'm critical, I'll find something to criticize. You follow me? If I'm negative, I can find something negative in any positive. I can find the gray cloud in any silver lining if I'm negative. But if I'm thankful, I can always see God even in the worst of times. So we don't see the world as it is. We see the world as we are. Healing on the inside is eternal. We get a new spirit now and perfected as we walk with Jesus and as we go deeper and as we become whole. The body can be healed. But I'm pretty much a believer that the spirit, the emotions, the mental, that takes through our lifetime to completely be whole. And one day we will be whole when we see Jesus face to face. I don't get sick every day, but I face the consequences of internal sickness pretty much every day. What do I fear? What do I worry about? What do I stress about? What am I anxious about? What am I shameful of? What's the pain? What's the rejection? All those things happen all the time. And I can't just pop a vitamin or take an aspirin. I need to take just a good dose of Jesus' sovereignty and his love. I wonder, where do you need your wholeness today? Where do you need your healing? Some of you need healing in the body. I'd like for Jesus to zap me right now and suddenly feel 100%. That would be great. But if he doesn't, he's God and I love him. I will serve him. How many need healing in your inner parts, in your spirit, in your emotions, in your mind? It might take a little longer as we work that through, and God works his patient Holy Spirit inside of us to do that internal surgery. Maybe my favorite verse in the Bible. It's got a few competitors. But Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 says, he who has begun a good work in you will bring it to completion. When Jesus came into your life, he's going to continue to work on your inside. And he's going to bring it to completeness, complete wholeness. He's going to do that. It's up to us to continue to follow him. Are you willing to do that? Do you want that? I want it for you. Because I want it for me. And I want it for you. I would love for your bodies to be healed. Even more than that, I would love for your soul to be healed. For your mind to be healed. And Jesus is the only one that could do it. I wish I could write a book and tell you where to put your hands. Put your hand on your heart a certain way. Stand a certain way and do the thing, and then your heart will be better. But it just doesn't work that way. We just have got to let God be God. So I want to pray for us today. And then there'll be some questions on the screens that you can use to help you linger. On the sides of the sanctuary, there'll be some elders. Where's Deanna? If you can come, Deanna, just kind of play a little background music for us while we linger. That if you need healing in your body, you can sit right where you are and you can pray. And that's okay. James says, come to the elders, be anointed, and let them pray for you. Let's practice what Jesus said to do. So come to pray if you have healing in the body. But if you've got healing in your soul, come as well. And it's okay. Sometimes it's harder to say that. It's easier to say, would you pray for me? My neck hurts. Because that really doesn't have anything involved with it. I slept wrong. Okay, fine, let's pray for that. But if you come and say, my soul hurts, then there's something deeper that's connected to that soul hurt. And we're kind of afraid to go there. Can I just put you at ease? You don't have to say all that to a person if you're not ready. But just say, would you pray for me? I've got some stuff on the inside. I need God's touch. We'll pray. Do that or linger where you are. But let me pray for you first. And if you don't know this Jesus that I'm teaching about this morning, he's available to you. He is. He's close. The Bible says wherever we are, he's here. So he's not far. And when you pray, he listens. He hears you. Be honest with him. Be truthful and let his Holy Spirit exchange your thoughts for his thoughts and receive his healing touch. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray this morning for each one of us, God, that you would touch us, that you would strengthen us. Most of all, Lord, that you would help us come to you vulnerably. As the Apostle Paul did when he said, I came to you three times. I was desperate. But yet he received your word that your grace was sufficient and your power would be perfected. God, we need that in our lives today. I would rather have your grace be sufficient and your power perfected and stay sick. But God, I know that you are a healer of the body, so I can call on you. Lord, healing of the inside is what we need most. So I pray, Lord, that we wouldn't walk out of here appearing as if we are whole when we're really not. We could smile, walk without a limp, and everybody would assume that we're good, when really on the inside, we're really, really sick. God, I pray in Jesus' name that you would help us to be honest with you about that internal illness. Offer it to you so that you can begin to do your work or continue the work or restart the work that you want to do inside of us to heal us spiritually, emotionally, and mentally. Thank you, Lord, for your presence this morning. Thank you for your healing touch in Jesus' name. Let's linger a while in his presence. If you're a guest with us and aren't quite sure what to do, what we do here is we don't believe it's a good idea to hear a teaching and then just rush out, because by the time you hit the parking lot, you've forgotten most of it. But rather, it's a good idea to linger a little while, to pray in and think in what we've just heard. So that's what we're going to do. Deanna's going to play a little soft music. Elders are going to come, and some people are going to pray with them. Some people like to pray up here because it's a little bit separated from everybody else. But we're going to linger and talk to God. If that's something you're not familiar with and uncomfortable, I invite you just to try it. And just say, God, I don't know you or where you are, but that pastor said to talk to you, and I'm going to try. You might be surprised at what you hear. Otherwise, if you've got to go, realize the time is 11:30, and you may have to go. Don't feel judged. If you need to get up and go, do it quietly so you won't disturb someone else. If you want to visit, visit on the patio. And when everybody else is done praying, they'll meet you out there. So, God bless you. Next week, we're going to finish off our summer series on God is with God is truth. God is truth. So look forward to gathering again next week. Have a wonderful week, and God bless you as you linger and pray.
You're the way, the truth, and the life. You're the well that never runs dry. I'm the branch and you are the vine. Draw me close and teach me to abide. Be my strength, my song in treasure.